God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Hebrews 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Dear friends in Christ, one day during the reign of King David, there was a battle in the forest of Ephraim. In the heat of the battle is the usurper to the throne, David's son Absalom, riding on his mule. As the mule runs under the thick branches of a large oak tree, his hair gets caught in the tree, and Absalom is left hanging in midair while the mule keeps running. Enter David's general Joab. Joab takes three javelins and plunges them into Absalom's heart, and Absalom, David's son turned enemy, is defeated. At this point, a young man named Ahimaaz says to Joab, "Come what may, I must run and take the good news to the king that the Lord has saved him from the hand of his enemies." And the Hebrew word for good news, basar, is the equivalent of the New Testament Greek word for good news, euangelion, from which we get the word gospel, good news. And consumed with the need to share this good news, Ahimaaz must run to the king. So Ahimaaz runs all the way to King David's camp, some 30 miles away, to tell him the good news. Blessed be the Lord your God. He has brought you victory. Long-distance running can be agonizingly painful, and yet very much worth it. When you reach the goal or the finish line, with the great feeling of endorphins running through your brain and your body in chiseled form. Yet because of the agonizing pain of long-distance running, we'd oftentimes rather be couch potatoes, rather than saying, "Come what may, I must run and take the good news to the king that the Lord has saved him from his enemies." Our motto is, "I don't want to run. I prefer to have fun, and pass me another Cinnabon." The sinner in us prefers the easy way, the lazy boy recliner approach to life. We prefer to be couch potatoes with the remote in one hand and a drink in the other, saying, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." That's the kind of life we prefer. But that's the way of little faith or no faith. Rather than running as those who are redeemed by the good news of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil that gives forgiveness, life, and salvation, God's goal is to move and motivate us so that we say from the depths of our hearts like Ahimaaz, "Come what may, I must run," and announce the good news of the victory the Lord has given us over our enemies. This is a life of big faith, a life well lived. This is why Hebrews 12 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race set out before us." The word "therefore" connects Hebrews 12 with Hebrews 11, which is that great Hall of Fame chapter. Hebrews 11 describes many of the famous Old Testament believers and their race of faith. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain because he offered it in faith. Noah built an ark believing God's promise. Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Rahab hid the spies of Israel to protect them. Joshua defeated Jericho. These are all faithful runners. These Old Testament faithful runners of the faith are along the sidelines of our lives, holding out their hands, giving us the high fives of encouragement. Go for it. God is faithful. You can do it. We finish through faith in Jesus, and so can you. So how exactly do we run the race of faith? Marathon runners run aerodynamically. Every ounce of excess weight is removed. So Hebrews 12 urges us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, tripping us up like loose shoelaces in a race. We throw off our sins through repentance and forgiveness. Oh Lord, I hate my sin, and I pray that you would put it to death and take it away. When you're running a marathon, you don't throw 2 50-pound bags over your shoulders and run with them. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could carry your burdens, but he died on the cross so you could leave your burdens at the foot of the cross, where Jesus took them all away, and then walk away or run away from the cross, totally forgiven, burdens removed, on your way to heaven, running like chariots of fire. We're also told to not only lay aside our entangling sins, but everything that hinders. What does this mean? As we run the race of faith, we are to keep on asking ourselves, is what I'm about to say or do or purchase or watch or go to going to help me or hinder me in the race of life to get home to heaven? When Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders, it means that as we run the race of faith, we keep on asking, does this habit or hobby or movie or TV show or book or relationship help me run with Christ to the finish line, or does it get in the way of my running with Christ to the finish line? And if it gets in the way, I need to throw off everything that hinders. In the Greek, Hebrews 12 literally says, let us keep on running with endurance the race marked out for us. It doesn't say let us coast, stroll, meander, or walk. The book of Hebrews was written to believers who were drifting along in life, easily losing their focus on Jesus and forgetting their forgiveness. In fact, the Greek word for race is agone. It refers to an agonizing or painful run of the Christian's race of faith in this sinful, demonized world. I wish I could say that our race or our journey of faith in Jesus to heaven is all downhill, smooth sailing, a walk on the beach, but it's not. Recall what happened to many of the great believers in Hebrews 11. Abel was killed by his brother Cain out of jealousy. God commanded Abram to offer up Isaac. Moses faced death from Pharaoh. Isaiah was sawn in two. But take heart, Jesus understands all the hell and heartache we face, because he already ran the race for us, which was filled with hell and heartache, pain and suffering. Therefore, as we run, we realize Jesus has already run the race for us and won the victory, and thus the victory is certain so long as we run with Christ all the way home to heaven. That's why Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Runners who look everywhere but to the finish line are the ones that trip over their shoelaces and pull up short of the finish line. Hebrews 12 goes on to say, let us run with endurance the race set out before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are to look to our crucified, risen, and ascended Savior the way that a runner looks to the finish line, and not take our eyes off of Christ. We are to keep everything else in our lives in the periphery of our visual field. But the center position belongs to Jesus, and if he's not in the center, everything else in life will end up distracting us from crossing the finish line. Hebrews 12 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Ours is not to be some lazy boy recliner kind of faith that puts its feet up, clicks on the TV, drinks a beer, and says, Jesus did it all for me, so I don't have to do anything. No, this is the race of your life, not a slumber party. Your enemies are biting at your heels, trying to trip you up so that you don't finish your life trusting in Jesus. But the saints in Christ are before you, urging you to fix your eyes on Jesus, as they did. Until the day our Lord takes us home to heaven, you and I are in the race of our lives. We're not in the grandstands yet. Those who are in the grandstands are those who have already made it safely home to heaven by clinging to Christ until the day they died. This life of faith is not a spectator sport where you sit back and admire the running of others or run to win. No, it's a grueling, lifelong marathon of hanging on to Jesus until you cross the finish line at your death and are carried home by angels to the grandstands in heaven. We see Abraham in the grandstands, who was told he would be the father of many nations and countless descendants when he didn't even have a child yet. And when his son was born, God told Abraham to take his only son and offer him as a sacrifice. At times in our race, we wonder, what is God doing? But Abraham trusted God and headed off to sacrifice his only son Isaac. He remained focused on God's promise, believing that even if Isaac died, God would raise him back to life. That's the kind of faith that wins the race, folks. Then the fateful day came, and right before Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac, God sent an angel to stop him, and God replaced Isaac with a lamb that was caught in a thicket of thorns. And then you realize what God was doing. He was helping Abraham and us run the race, focusing our eyes on the good news of the victory that Jesus has given us in Christ, who spared not his only son, but gave him up for us all, and who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. What God wanted us to dramatically see and focus our eyes on throughout our lives is this: I didn't spare my son so that you could make it safely home to heaven. In the grandstands, we see Moses choosing to be identified with God's enslaved people, rather than living a life of sinful luxury in Pharaoh's household. He bore the reproach of Christ, stood up to the king of Egypt, saying, "Let my people go." He trusted God's word that the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the door frames of their houses would cause the angel of death to pass over them, since God said it would. That's the kind of faith that wins races. In the grandstands, we see the faithful Israelites who stood before walls of water on both sides and in faith walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. In the grandstands, we see Rahab, the prostitute, who trusted in the Lord's protection even when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down and God spared her life. This is the kind of faith that wins the race. All of these died clinging to Christ until their dying breath. And all of them are now in the grandstands of heaven cheering you and me on, having passed the baton to us. Hebrews 12 urges us, let us keep on running with endurance the agonizing race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How do we run? We run to win. How do we win? We run the race of life through faith in Jesus to our dying breath. Who was totally focused on winning the race of salvation for us, so that all we need to do is hold on to him as we run through this life. Our faith in Jesus is what wins the race. Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. You see, the race against sin, death, and the devil was already won for us by Jesus and through his all-forgiving death and his death-conquering resurrection. He already won the race for us, and his victory is all a gift to us through faith. In our gospel lesson, Jesus said, "How great is my distress until it," that is, our salvation, "is accomplished." The Greek word for distress could also be translated intensely driven. How great is my intense desire until it, our salvation, is accomplished. That's the gospel fire that was burning in Christ's heart for us when Hebrews 12 says, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, victorious." Jesus had one purpose in coming: to run the marathon of suffering, pain, death, and hell for us, to win forgiveness, life, and salvation for us, to go home victorious, to prepare a place for us. At the end of the race, he proclaimed, "It is finished." Christ won the race, and in him we win too. Jesus already beat you to the cross, beat you out of the grave, and beat you to heaven to prepare a place for you. Let his victory be your focus as you run the race, holding on to his nail-pierced hands, caught up in the backdraft of his already finished victorious marathon. And when you get tired and weary, just hold on to Jesus all the more. Come to the rest area. Run to God's house to hear your forgiveness. Run to receive food and drink that enables you to once again fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and let everything else recede into the periphery where it belongs. In closing, it was from a dark prison cell in Rome, shackled in chains, awaiting his own beheading, that Paul found himself. But he was about to finish his race of faith. He was about to draw his last breath. His eyes of faith, however, were still focused intently on Christ his Savior. And as he neared the finish line, he wrote these words for you and me in Romans: "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." This is the kind of faith that wins the race, and whoever runs like this runs well and will receive the crown of life that fadeth not away. Amen.